I have that spirit so that in all the learnings of this my course, I will have 10 times more understanding than my contemporaries who don't have my faith. I have more understanding than my teachers because the testimonies of God, they are my meditations, so they have energized my brain, giving me understanding. You see, the God of biology is the God of the universe and he's my father. Therefore, the same spirit with which he created the amoeba and the plankton, that spirit is inside me and it gives me understanding of their DNA. A Christian should never be satisfied except, I tell myself all the time, don't try to pass, try and learn something. You're a medical student, you're going to be a doctor. Your patient is not going to come and say, let me see your certificate. Are you getting my point? No. What he wants is solution to his problems. So if you pass by one interesting method, yet you don't know the stuff, how do you help people? Let me sit on my message for today. I'm going to bring us something here. Christians just don't live by impulse. You understand my point? Just wake up in the morning. Holy Spirit, should I drive on the right side of the road today? Or on the left side of the road? You say, my son, I, your God, manufacturer of cars, I'm speaking to you right now. Press the clutch and put the car in gear. How will you put it in gear to before if it's not automatic? If you don't press the clutch? And I see pastors and Christians who come up the pulpit and be testifying. When I woke up and I entered my car, and the Holy Spirit said, as I was praying, I was meditating, the Holy Spirit said, press the clutch, and I pressed the clutch, and I put it in gear. Amen. Do you know what happened? The car began to move. You decrease. What would the car have done? I don't know for people, though. They now make us look silly as Christians. When serious thinking people listen to us, they all laugh. The unbelieving engineer says that I made the clutch cable. I don't know whether I get my point. A Christian knows what is right and we follow the proper order of doing things. Then periodically, there are days that the clutch cable will cut. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you have to move. And you say, dear Lord, I have to move. Clutch cable, I speak to you, be joined. And then clutch cable will rejoin. And you continue to move. Then usually at such times, when you finish the movement, you go and change the clutch cable. Please, did I make any point? Let's not talk about the matter of money. I read that scripture so that we know that Christians can plan. But we are not slaves to plans. Sometimes they go wrong, all right? And we know that God has already made another way. And that's why I allowed that to go wrong. I heard myself saying this again on TV. Now, broadcast today. I said, your life is not an accident. God is watching over you. Are you getting my point? God is what? Watching over you. Your head doesn't fall without his knowing about it. So even if natural plans go wrong, don't worry. God has another plan that he has prepared. By the time he closes one door, just look around, he has opened another one. Plans go wrong, but that's because God has made another plan, which you will soon step into. I hope you get my point. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, I said we should open somewhere. Let's continue this matter of money that we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter what? 9. Let me quickly read that. I've thought about it. What do I want to do in all these things I'm doing? I want Christians to know how to think like mature sons of God. Having the mind of Christ. That is the attitude, the understanding, the perspective of Christ. All right, so he said in verse, let me just read, let me start from verse 6. I want one verse, but let's read it so that we can just refer to it. So now I say this, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each one, verse 7, do just as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly, nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He said in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Now, I want verse 10 this time. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He said, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now, let me just stop there. All right? Now, This is what I want to say about the matter of money. For Christians, please don't forget details and other perspectives or other points you will find in those materials. There's a particular CD we have titled what? Your Money. There's another one titled, that's MP3, many messages in it. There's another one titled Biblical Financial Management. Listen to that. And then the book, How to Work for God and also Grace to Prosper. I discuss all these things inside there. And if you read Spiritual Economics, 13 messages, all right? You'll see more things on it. And then our Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar. All of these things I've mentioned are on one CD each. The Spiritual Economics one, you can see, as you can imagine, has over 16 to 17 hours of teaching, all right, on that single MP3 CD. And the Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar also has more than 10 hours of teaching also on one single MP3 CD. So you can get the lot of things that we have taught before on the matter of money and related issues when you read those books and listen to those CDs. I just want to make a few points here as part of our Faith Basics series. Why did I read this? In that verse 10, it said, God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. I've already established the fact that a Christian should learn how to plan. All right? These days, we pastors, we love to make it look like you don't need to plan. All right? You just suddenly wake up and start giving offerings. And I want to talk specifically about that as we go on. He said, he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. What that tells us is this. It's a simple principle there. That everything that God brings into your life, actually, there are two things God brings into your life. He brings seed and he brings what? Bread. You understand my point? Bread being that which you what? Eat. That is seed being that which you don't eat, but you give out so as to produce more. Now, there are two ways by which you look at that seed. I've taught them before. There's spiritual seed and there's physical seed. And both of them are equally important. He said, restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. And then he said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. And he that goes forth weeping, bearing his bag of seed, shall doubtless again return with rejoicing, bearing his harvest with him. Now, when we read that psalm, we often make it look as if it's just about sowing spiritual seeds. But literally, David was speaking about physical seed. When he said, restore our economy, he said, invest in that economy. What I'm trying to say is this. There is physical seed. There are things that you do physically. You get my point? Like rent an office space, all right? Buy materials that you want to produce something out of and sell. That is seed. But there's also spiritual seed. What is spiritual seed? Which Paul was referring to specifically in this regard. It was when people give out money, all right, as an offering or as a blessing into somebody else's life from where they are not expecting any direct return. You understand what I'm saying there? That is, if I'm going and somebody needs money and I give the person maybe 1,000 or 2,000 or 100,000, whatever it is, I'm not expecting the person to give back to me or help me with connections or necessarily even pray for me. As long as the person says thank you to God, I am okay. That is spiritual seed. I hope you get what I'm saying there. All right, that's spiritual seed. And let me just say this to us again. I know I've said it 100,000 times, and you're probably tired of hearing it, except that I'm not tired of saying it yet. All right? And until that time comes, just bear with me. What I'm trying to say here is this. Spiritual seed is one thing that you have no control over or can plan how it works. Because it's a matter of typology when they use the word seed to describe it. When we use types in the Bible, they don't always, all right, directly reflect everything that the antitype reflects. What I mean is this. For example, if we say Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah, are you getting my point? He's not a lion in that sense. There's something about the character of a lion that's being used to describe the personality of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't have four limbs and he does not growl. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? But then there's boldness, there's strength. All right, which is used when you're talking about the lion. So when you see, be harmless as a dove, be wise as a serpent, but be harmless as a dove. What Jesus was saying, in effect, is that there are traits in a dove which has to do with gentility and harmlessness that you must learn. At the same time, there's a trait of camouflage, all right, and subterfuge that you must learn from the serpent. You take both of them, you are neither a serpent nor a dove. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are just types. In the same manner, spiritual seed, that's how it is. Though I can sow corn, all right, and expect to reap corn, I can't sow money because money does not germinate in the physical realm. Get this clear. There's a lot of confusion today in the body of Christ. They say, if you want, give, and then you will get. That is not scripture. God never said that, all right? A Christian must cultivate a giving culture. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, give money towards this. It does not work. I've said it enough here. I don't have time to go by it again. I want to say it, all right? Direct and leave it. You can't say that I'm giving this money towards my this. All right? Say, when I sow, God says, what you sow, you will reap. Therefore, I'm going to sow dollar that I might reap dollar. I've seen people do silly things like that. Are you getting my point? A Christian cannot sow dollar to reap dollar. The reason is because if you want to sow dollar, better go to the market. Go and buy, go and start doing these funny things they do. Trade Forex on the internet, you know? They've stopped saying it now because they didn't make any money, all right? go and learn it. Take Forex on the internet. That's where you sow dollar to reap dollar. The way Christians sow money, I've said it before, physical things, when we're talking about spiritual aspect of it, is what they carry that matters. What I mean is this. If I give to you because you're hungry, what I have sown is love, and I will reap love. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I give to maybe my father, you know, either my father in the Lord or my physical father, what I have sown is honor, and I will reap honor. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. When I'm sowing into the first field of the spirit, I must sow spiritual substance. But spiritual substance always has a coating. So the coating can be money. Are you getting what I'm saying? I need to say that again so that we understand it. Don't deceive yourself. You cannot give money so you can have more. I don't care how much has been preached. That thing is error. Complete error. You don't give money so as to have more money. Another thing I should bring out, which I'm coming to in this matter, God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. When God supplies things to you, blessed is that servant who will be found when the master returns doing exactly what he was told to do. I get my point. What God rewards is what? Faithfulness. So if God finds you faithful in handling little, he gives you more. Get that clear? Let me quickly make this point again, all right? I'm finishing so I can go to the next one. So you see, in everything there is seed. The spiritual seed is the one you use for every giving of money that is not done so as to return something to you. For example, if I go to the market, I give 160 naira downstairs, I expect a loaf of bread. That's not a spiritual seed. Are you getting my point? But if I turned around and gave somebody begging at the gate that 160 naira, and I walk away empty-handed, that's a spiritual seed. Now, my emphasis here is that every money you have, there is a portion that's spiritual seed, and there is a portion that's physical seed, and there is a portion that is bread. Which one is seed? Again, that's one area where I cannot be dogmatic. I can't insist on anything. I don't know what situation you are in. Do you understand my point? Let me give you a practical example to so you understand why I'm going like that. Assuming you are just starting out a business. Most of your profit will be seed. I want to get practical a bit. What I mean is this. Let's assume now, and that's one thing about, I've gotten to a point where I start mixing things up because many things just come flowing to my head. But please just try and learn a thing or two. We'll finish it next time if we don't finish it today. I said Christians must learn how to handle money profitably. Okay? One of the things you will learn if you are doing business is to know that a major portion of what returns to you is seed. Listen. When God created the heavens and the earth, when he made the plantation, he made trees bearing fruit which had seed in them. That's the way it is. If you go to a mango tree, you take the mango fruit, you eat the flesh outside, it leaves for you what? A seed. A lot of business people don't understand this. Part of their problem is that they are too small-minded. And the world has given them an agenda that God did not give them. If by the age of 40, you have not yet built a house in the village, you know you are a failure. And they have believed it. So he opened one shop. That shop is making him enough money to continually owe money on iron rod and cement. Now he's satisfying the village people by building a house that he can't afford yet. He's eating his seed. Listen, that's one area where I recommend all Christians should go and read Robert Kiyosaki. Read that Poor Dad. We'll explain to you. I don't have time to explain it. When you start making money like that, all right, The first thing that should be in your mind is to expand your plantation. What I mean is this. You have one mango seed. You've planted it. In fact, let me tell you this story to help you understand the foolishness of human beings. Many years ago, I'm telling you a story of over 20 years ago. My mother was sleeping in the afternoon, and she woke up and rushed out because she heard people crying, only to see that it was television that they were crying inside. But the howling was so great, she wondered what was going on. She rushed out of her room. What is going on? He said, it's a TV. Men are not giving me heart attack. Why were they crying on TV? There was a man. Now, it's a story of wickedness and jealousy. There was this very poor man, extremely poor man, who somebody gave a fresh kola nut. I don't know how kola nut is exactly, which word to you, but like kola nut fruit, you know, the whole pod with kola nut inside. He was supposed to eat it, but he didn't. His wife was about to start. He said, no. He told the wife, no, we are going to plant this. So he planted the kola nut. And they have a tradition when they are planting, they put like a pot, like a broken pot around it. All right? And it's supposed to sound like a kind of protection. I don't know the details. Now, when the thing grows, the pot is around the stem. So you can't remove the pot anymore, in the broken pot. So then he wanted to plant his kola nut. He didn't have the pot to use. So he went to his neighbor and begged for a pot. You understand? And the man gave it to him. The man was a wicked man and a jealous man. Years later, the kola nut grew and it was producing fruit. The man was still very poor, but he now had a small source of income which he could harvest the kola nut and sell. Except that his neighbor now said, this man now has kola nut fruit, abi? All right, the tree is producing. So he said, please, that pot I gave you that time, can I have it back? So, this story will really interest you. Now, the man, like, we can't remove it anymore. The tree has grown over it. The only way to bring that is to break it. He said, if you break my pot, this is a broken pot, you know, just the rim or like the top of a pot. The heavens will come down. They beg this man, he refused that he wants to use that. In fact, the oracle said he must get that thing back. Let me make a long story short. They cut the tree. Now, let me finish the story and then I'll get back to my own message. The story was that his wife had a problem delivering. His children used to die early. So the oracle also said, you should go and get a special kind of beads, all right? And put it around the neck of the next child that's born. So he got it put around the neck of the child. The child grew up, the thing couldn't come out. He got it from that other man. Then when the girl was about to wed, the man said he needed his beads back. They said, okay, let them cut. If you cut it, heavens will come. So they had to cut the head of the girl to get his beads for him. So that's how the story ended, all right? But that's not my message. My message is that this man, the kola nut began to produce. He settled down around one tree and began to eat. The foolishness of the heart of man did not allow him to realize that if one seed could produce this tree, every year hundreds of seeds come from that tree. But he collects all the seeds, the fruit, sells them, collects, and eats the money. He was dependent on one tree. So that by the time somebody killed that tree, he went back into poverty. That is what we all do. There are some of us, if government says no more market in this area, our children won't go to school again. Do you understand my point? Nothing. That is, we've gone into poverty permanently. Meanwhile, for 10 years, you were making enough money to extend that business from one spot to two. Please go and listen to Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy Seminar CD. Please. You see, the Bible said the prosperity of the fool is what kills him. What is the prosperity of the fool? Once he makes enough money to buy one car and rent a big house, he suddenly feels richer than everybody else. and he's content, and he joins the cult of poverty, and they start pronouncing, what does a man want in life? Just enough money to buy one car, live in a decent house, build a small bungalow. What are people looking for in life? Then one day, tsunami comes and takes out that bungalow. Then he understands what people are looking for in life. That were it not that some men built two, he won't have where to go. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? Seed. Christians must, I'm not talking about that more than that, all right? Christians must recognize that there's physical seed in the money that they have. There's also spiritual seed. I talk about the priestly corner of life. The way by, and I said something last time, your giving life is a reflection of what you believe. You know the story in Luke chapter 12? One day a man sat down, having harvested mightily. He says, so relax. Take your ease. You have much money saved up for years to come. Even if you don't work anymore, you can feed yourself, your children, your children's children after this. What are you worrying about again? So he relaxed. Jesus told the story. He built a bigger barn so as to store his grain. And as soon as he went into relaxation, God killed him by himself. Again, let me tell you, in France now, they are fighting because government says they want to raise retirement age from 65 years to 67. The whole nation is in turmoil. They want to add just 2 years. And you know, it doesn't worry me. I don't plan to retire at 67. Nor do I plan to retire at 90 or even at the age of 100. I don't plan to retire. Retirement is for tired people. I don't plan to get tired. One man I admire so much then when I saw his story in the paper was Paul Dutola. Dutola was a great industrialist in Nigeria. I think when he was 90 or 92 was when they interviewed him. And he was discussing the expansion of business. The area they wanted to move into. Then they were manufacturing foam, tires. What was the man was not manufacturing. Now, they had new areas they're about to enter. So this part at 92, he was discussing business expansion. I've told you, the day your father retires and goes to the village, beg him that this is not the will of God. The retirement that you'll cross your leg in the morning and be picking your teeth and think you have arrived. Your brain starts shrinking. It's called disuse atrophy in medicine. It starts shrinking when it starts working. What am I saying? When a man just thinks that he has gathered enough, all right, so as to take care of himself, something is going to go seriously wrong. Let me leave that there, all right? But why I told that story is the fact that that man was not rich towards God. That's what the Bible says. What does he mean by not being rich towards God? He was not sowing his spiritual seeds. He was a man who learned how to manage his physical seed until his harvest was mighty enough to take care of him. But because he did not have the right mindset, and which was reflected in the fact that he was not a customary giver. I must say that quickly before I go. What is a customary giver? A man who gives as a custom. Go and read my tract, Cheerful Giver. Please read it. I can't teach everything there. I said in that tract that God looks on the inside. He never looks on the outside, right? That's what the Bible says. So when God loves a cheerful giver, he does not look on the outside also. I don't know whether you heard me. So a cheerful giver is not the man that dances. Hey, Abraham's blessings are mine. Hey, Abraham. As I give me the offering. Dance like David danced. So give that offering. That's not a cheerful giver. It does not even mean he's rejoicing his heart at that moment when he's giving. Go and read my tract. A cheerful giver, being a cheerful giver is a mindset and attitude. It's a principle of faith in life. A cheerful giver is a man who knows, like I was telling the story of my friend. What he and I concluded that day when we were discussing, not yesterday. I said, you see, you earn money does not mean you are better than other people. It just means that God set you up to earn the money so you can fulfill a particular function. A cheerful giver understands that and therefore he fulfills that function regularly. A friend of mine and I were discussing. We said we hate the one that preachers go around winding people to twist money out of their pockets. It's very bad. We all agree. But he said something also. which made me start a book which will come out one of these days, titled So Who Will Pay for This? He said, what the preachers do, all right, those things are wrong. He said, but let's not look at one side, let's look at the other side. Just as culpable as the preachers who go around twisting people for money are those that make themselves requiring twisting to bring out money. I don't know what I hear what I said. See, the preacher who goes around lying to collect money, he sins. Amen? The man who made the man need to lie to collect money is also as equal a great sinner. That is equally a sinner also. My friend telling me this is a preacher, a pastor. When he narrates what he has seen, you need to be disciplined. I was listening to Ravi Zacharias, who went to preach somewhere. He was there for days and then maybe a week or two. And when he was leaving, the pastor said, we forgot to take an offering for you. What do we do? He asked the head deacon. The head deacon said, we'll mention it on Sunday. All right, on Sunday. All right, bless you. Bye-bye. You know this is the only job he does. And you let him go, saying you will discuss it in church on Sunday. And the man said, the Sunday never really came because it's been 15 years or so. He has not heard from them. If Ravi Zacharias goes out next time and presents a bill before he comes, two people are guilty. Number one, the guy who sent him away empty-handed. Then maybe he too is guilty. It takes a lot of spiritual discipline not to get involved in some of the things. I mean, that my friend talked, he said once he went to go and preach in one big gathering of big people. Those days went to drink what, you know, there was a time in Nigeria that you could marry a girl by buying her juice, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, there was a time. You went to show a woman you love that you bought her juice. Now everybody can buy juice. There was a time that if you do a function, you serve juice. That's canned juice or bottled juice, paper juice, you know what I'm saying? Juicy, then it was just juice that time. It was like, my God, you guys spent money. He went for that kind of function. Then bottled water was a rarity. Do you understand my point? Not now that everybody makes bottled water. That time it was Ragolis, Swan. That's all. It was later that Eva and Co began to join all these things. He said, the head of the organization said, oh, we're so blessed. 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 When he was leaving, they slipped him an envelope. It was so thin, he thought that maybe they put a check inside. It was one piece of note, either 500 naira or something, that was inside. My friend is not a covetous man, but he looked and saw how much you spent eating food. He that was the main thing, the main menu for the night, you couldn't even give him enough money to buy that food by himself if he went home. So my friend said, when we were discussing, he said, yes, preachers who go around begging for money, they have their guilt. He said, but the church that makes it necessary for them to do that, they have their guilt also. Now, you've heard me say several times, all right? No matter how anointed you are, you come telling fantastic stories about how one person gave a head and got three heads. I won't answer you. But it's important I say the other side. I also learned long ago not to need anybody to tell stories before I do what is my responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, there are two sides to every story. There is a side of the wickedness of men who want to make merchandise of your souls. But before you can stand before God and be totally guiltless, make sure you are one who that kind of ministry is not necessary towards. I told you, one brother called me and said, Pastor Banky, our pastor said we should bring all our salary for this month. And I said, why? What does he want to do with the money? I kept on calling him, please tell me, did he say God said to him? Or he just woke up on one side of the bed and he saw your whole month salary on the wall? Or what? I'm not saying anything. I just want an explanation. If I said that, well, that was the instruction they got from above. They want to build a house, you know, district headquarters, and the pastor, in his wisdom, decided that the way to do it is to collect all their month salary. I think it's very wrong. I don't agree with him, because you collected in January. You say it was first fruit. You collect 10% every month. You say it's tight. You collect another 10% every month. You say it's offering. Then you collect special seed here and there. You see, what is it? You, pastor, self. You see, I keep on telling people, run the church, self, as if it's a personal business. If it's a personal business, will you behave like that? That's just by the way. Are you getting my point? But what I told him is what I want to tell you before I close. I said to him something simply. I said, listen to this. Maybe God spoke to him. Maybe. I said, but don't ever forget. Maybe the message is not for people like you. Because I know you and you know you. On a regular basis. In fact, he told me that before then, there was some money just paid him in his office. And he told me the amount that he gave to that same church. I said, man, the message is not for you. Let it be for the stingy people. That, you know, some people, they will never give until the pastor invites a stranger. They are wicked souls. So when the pastor don't mark you now, where we say all of you now, no one drop, eh? Okay, they come. Are you getting my point? What I'm saying, this is my teaching. Make sure that you are not somebody like that. And that's what I'm trying to teach. Every Christian must make giving a habit. And I started by talking about planning. You must be a planned giver. Come on. You know how much you earn. Don't give by faith. Oh, I don't believe in that one. You know what I'm saying? By faith now, being in quote unquote. You are earning 20,000 naira in a month and you make a pledge of 0.5 million. Please, make that pledge at home. When God has increased you to come and don't go and harass an innocent pastor who's making budget based on your promise. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why someone like me, you know me now. I don't do that kind of thing. You can't deceive me. If you come and say, Pastor, the Lord's been laying upon my heart to do something dangerous for kingdom world, may the Lord dangerously bless you. That's my own idea. He said, Pastor Bank, God, I say, you know the truth? I won't even pray for you specially. He said, Lord, lay upon you. Okay, may the Lord prosper you. When he has blessed you dangerously, return with your dangerous offering. I won't budget on you. Listen to me. I budget on the killing of the bear and the killing of the lion before I face Goliath. He said, what do you mean? Listen, I know the trend of our ministry income in the last 6 months. Are you getting my point? I know the trend. I am not going to sign up because Omega Channel, they were advertising something once to broadcast in America. I said, right now, I don't have any money for Americans. Most importantly, I'm not going to pay them more than we are paying them right now. Because at this season, if we do that, hey, yeah. Let me just summarize, but we won't do that. Let me just summarize it like that. Right now, our pattern of outreach, I know what we can easily handle. He says, lack of faith. I'll tell you what real faith is. Faith is recognizing where God has moved to and following him. That is what faith is. If God opens, don't jump into the Red Sea if God does not open it. When God wanted to part the Jordan, he told the priest, go and stand there first. Do you understand my point? The children of Israel waited. When the priest had gone in and the river had stopped flowing, they followed. Christians said, no, just drown. The Lord will bring you out. That is the one Pastor Banky does not practice. If you come for prayer meetings, we pray for the finances of Kingdom World Ministries. We do. We believe God for great things. Are you getting my point? But I know what we can do. God has been moving us gradually, but persistently. And I know a day will come shortly. Listen, let me tell you this again. A day is coming. Somebody will give us a draft. I'm not joking about this. It will be for 1 billion naira. Amen. And 12 people will do that within 24 months. And I already know 2 or 3 of them. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? I know the time will come. Why am I saying this? People say, when God blesses me, I will take 100 million and just preach the gospel. God said, listen, my friend, do I look like an idiot to you? Last month, I gave you 25,000 naira. You bought a new suit for 12,000, a new pair of shoes for 8,000. Right now, you are owing 12,000. I give you 25. When your sister called, you couldn't take the call because she begged you that her friend is wedding and she wanted money to buy a new gown to join the wedding. You have used your money to buy shoe, buy a new Motorola. The old one you were using, and now you want to now deceive me that one day you'll give 100 million to the preaching of the gospel. If I slap you now, are you guys what I'm saying? God said, don't make for me any gigantic plans. It is acceptable according to what a man has. This is what I'm trying to say. This is how Christians behave. There is seed for the sower. There's spiritual seed, there's physical seed. Sit down, make a proper budget on a monthly basis. Now, like somebody said, I was coming to my office yesterday, he quoted Picasso for me. Pablo Picasso said, learn the rules, then you can break them. Do you get my point? You follow what I'm saying? First, have a standard. Have a culture. Then you can, Holy Spirit can now move you one day. But some people are not moving anywhere. Holy Spirit does not even know how to get them off their seats. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I'm telling you is, let us have a culture first, based upon that which is written. If you work and you have an income, you must give to the poor regularly. You must give for the preaching of the gospel regularly. You must give to honor those who God says you should honor, especially your parents, regularly. I didn't say every month. Did I say every month? I said what? Regularly. One day, a brother walked up to me who had a fantastic, good project. He said, looking for people who will give half of their salary for that month for that project. So he approached me. I told him, I said, boy, come. I think what you are doing is okay. But now that you have approached me, I have only one problem. I don't know which half of my salary I will give you. Because I can't give you the half that goes to my father, you know, from which I give to my father. I can't give the half from which I give to Place Like Kingdom World Ministries. I can't give the half from which I give to feed my children and my wife. No, let's even forget those ones that my own personal investment. But the half that go out to other people, the charity homes I support, I can't give you their half. The ministries I support, I can't give you their half. Actually, I told him matter of factly, I said, what I have actually right now is half of what I earn. Half was given before you dreamt up your project. I'm not saying your project is bad, except that that half, I don't have it. The only other half I have left is the half that I shared to my landlord, the market women that my wife visits, my children, the school they go to. Are you getting my point? The fuel in my car. And I have reasoned it. Your project is not more important than those things. I wasn't angry. I hope you get my point. I was not angry. It was just a matter of fact. I did not have the half he was asking for. I wasn't being holy or being spiritual. It's just that I did not have it. The half he wanted left before he came.